So we're doing value 1 minute.
Good evening. Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Had a good morning and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do for us tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless our service tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you tonight, dear Father, and thank you so much for all that you've done for us, and God, for your holy word, for empowering us and blessing us, and God, giving us a hope that we have an eternal life. And I pray that you might bless everything that is said and done tonight in this place, and it might bring honor and glory to your name. I pray for those that are not able to be here tonight, that you might meet the needs on the hearts of your people. Thank you for Brother Haley. I pray that you might be with him and his ministry, and I pray for Israel, pray for the peace of Israel, and pray for your guiding hand and your protection hand over them, and be at that situation, but bless our service here tonight in Jesus' name, amen. So I'll stand, turn to page 389, page 389, and we will sing all three verses, 389. Hark, 'tis the Master's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, go out and bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, go out and bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Who'll go and help this shepherd kind? Help them the wandering ones to find. Who'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the fold? Bring them in, go out and bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, go out and bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, go out and bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, go out and bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn up to page 409. The fight is on. I don't know if you know this. If you have a desire to serve the Lord, make some good decisions, the fight is on. The devil's going to, you make a good decision, he's not going to let you just make that good decision without him bucking you and discouraging you. Let's sing all three verses of this one tonight, page 409.
The fight is on. The trumpet sound is ringing. To call arms is heard from near and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory. The triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier. and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong page today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor song at last. The fight is on, arouse ye soldiers brave and true. Jehovah leads and victory will assure. Go buckle on the armor God has given you, and in His strength forever will endure. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming, streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor song at last. On the last. The fight is leading on to certain victory. Bow a promise fans the eastern sky. His glorious name in every land shall honored be. The morn will break, the dawn of peace is nigh. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and color streaming, right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor song at last.
Amen. Welcome back to Bethel Baptist Church this Sunday evening time. Just a few announcements. Tomorrow, October 16th, Senior Saints here at the church at noon. So if you're part of Senior Saints, make sure you're here for that. Wednesday, October the 18th, Bible preaching and prayer here in the House of God starting at 7 p.m., as well as Patch the Pirate Club program that will also be taking place at 7. Saturday, October 21st, churchwide Operation Saturation Soul Winning. That takes place every Saturday starting at 10 o'clock, and then also there'll be a lunch and a visit to some of our Senior Saints that will take place from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m. that same day. So you have to go out with us, make some special visits, be here on Saturday at 10 o'clock for the Operation Saturation, then from 1 to 3 for visiting some of the seniors. Monday, October 23rd, ladies meeting here at the church, and Friday, October 27th will be the Family Fall Festival. As you know, knowing that we don't celebrate Halloween, so that's time to take place of that. So that will be taking place at the end of the month. Remember to keep Pastor in prayer. He'll be heading out this Tuesday, go to Hutchinson, Kansas to preach a preacher's fellowship meeting. It'll be taking place at Riverside Baptist Church in Hutchinson, Kansas. Everyone is invited to go to that. If you would like to, again, that is going to be at Riverside Baptist Church in Hutchinson, Kansas. Information for that is in the bulletin here. We'll also be having a care package for Nathan Lindholm and Leah Swope that'll be in the back. It'll be available for you to place things inside of this Wednesday up until November the 2nd. We're just going to remind them that we think about them and their love and their cared for as they are away from home during that time. And I believe Pastor has some more.
All right. Last Sunday night we had October birthdays. And we had several. But there was two people that weren't here. Three people that weren't here. Three people. So we need you to come up. No. We didn't get to sing to you. Come on. Now, yeah, I didn't see you. How many of you saw Rita and Eugene last Sunday night?
I did.
No.
I did.
I'm glad you did. Yeah, they were in Branson. So, yes, I was. And you weren't here last week, but we went up instead of a penny a year, it's a dollar a year. So a dollar. That's for the first year. Who's the third person? Oh, yes. Yes, Wanda, because Sister Burris and Sister Hine have the same birthday. Yes, yes. And Sister Renlett's today with Chloe Ames. Their birthday's today. But anybody else we missed? Dwayne, did we get you last week? Should we get you again? I'm just giving him hard time. No? His birthday was Friday. You don't have to, Friday. He, huh?
If we have to, he has.
But you weren't, he came up last Sunday. No, he was here. All right, let's sing happy birthday to these two. Ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
You have to kiss her for her birthday. No. All right, let's all stay. What's that? Oh. We already did those. All right, let's all stand, have a time of fellowship, then we'll take the offering tonight. Find your place tonight. Y'all know what today is? It's Roundup Sunday, right? That's what your bulletin said. And the bulletin is gospel, folks. If it's in the bulletin, it's gospel. Yeah, someone says so. But it is not Roundup Sunday. And it's not the Sunday after Roundup Sunday. It said that once. Yeah. I just want to see if you guys are awake, if you even look at the bulletin, because sometimes my family goes, what are we doing? I said, do you ever get a bulletin? Do you ever read your bulletin? I guess it's just my family. But anyway, well, glad you're here, and let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the offering tonight. Brother Gloria, will you do that for us, please? Man, you may be seated. right, let's stand one more time. Take your hymnal, page 375. Work for the night is coming. We'll sing all three verses of this one tonight, page 375.
Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming. When man's work is done, work for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man's work's no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset skies. While their bright tints are glowing, for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth. Fadeth to shine no more. Work for the night is darkening when man's work is o'er.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Another
take for God to get happy? One sinner. One sinner. Anybody need a handout tonight? Did the teenagers get handouts? All right. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'm excited about the kind of new series we're getting into on Sunday nights. I don't know if you'll enjoy it, but I'll enjoy it. Amen? But I hope you enjoy it. I hope you'll learn. Hope you'll listen and learn. It'll help you. But we're going to take some examples out of the Word of God. You know, God only wrote one book. What was it? Bible. Why did God write this Bible? I mean, He could have just said, here's what I want you to do. But He put all kinds of examples in there. You know, I mean, you can be told what to do, but sometimes it's good to have an example. Somebody that has done it, somebody that went through the same thing we did and made it through. There's a lot of lessons that we can learn from the Word of God, from the people that God named in the Word of God. And God wrote this and gave it to us, and so we're going to look at some things that I think we need in our lives. We need to put into our lives, and we can see it in the Word of God, that God used somebody with that character trait or that spirit or that attitude. And so if you have found 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you'll stand in reverence and love of God's Word, really our verse that we're using is verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for what? In samples. And they are written for our what? Admonition, our instruction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the things that God put in the Bible, God said if the things that happened just in His lifetime happened, we would not have books enough to contain it. But God picked and chose what He would put in a book. And I think you can read the book. I think you can read the Bible through in 72 hours. I think a normal reading thing. Time, but this is the book that God gave us, and God said here, and it has God's words in it, but it also has some stories about what people did, what they went through, and they are written for our examples and our admonitions. Look in verse number 6. Now these things were our what? Examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. You know, sometimes He shows us some good things about somebody. He said, you need to do this. Sometimes it's bad things. He said, you don't need to do that. And there's a phrase that's in this passage of Scripture, like in verse 8, as some of them. And in verse 9, as some of them. Verse number 10, as some of them. And so as some of them, that means, hey, these people before you, they had this in their lives and they murmured or they lusted and they did that. And He said, I don't want you to do that because look what happened to them. And so our verse is verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, our instruction. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before You tonight. Dear Father, I thank You for the precious book, the Bible, that You've given us. God, I pray that we might read it more, we might study it more. But God, more than that, we might take heed. We might not be hearers only and not doers. But God, we might obey the Word of God. We might practice the Word of God. We might conform our lives and our thinking and our lifestyle to the Word of God. Pray that You might bless us tonight, be it those that are watching online that are not able to be here. May God meet with us in this place tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So there's a couple lessons that we learn. Number one, that God is no respecter of persons. And He says that in the Word of God. God doesn't love the Jews any more than He loves us. He doesn't love the Old Testament saints and people more than He does the New Testament. He doesn't love a certain country more than others, a certain race than others. God loves all people. And God, all God's people said, amen. The only race that I know, you know, the Black Lives Matter. No, if you put a color in front of that phrase, you're racist. It's all lives matter. all lives. Now, I don't care what color you are, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Hey, it doesn't matter. God loves everybody. God doesn't say, well, I'm going to do for them what I will not do for them. No, no, no. If we look in the Word of God and we do the same thing these people did, guess what? God will bless us just as much as He blessed them. And when we do that which is wrong, just like they did here, you think God's going to say, well, those are Americans, I'm going to look the other way? No, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the immorality and sodomy that was taking place. And we think, well, God bless America when we legalize and we promote and we want everybody to tolerate the sin of the people. No, no, no. God still hates the sin, folks. But He loves the sinner. So God is no respecter of persons. Number two, I see that if they can make it, you can make it. Like the widow woman, she was down to the last meal. I'm going to have enough for me and my son, a pancake, and that'd be it. That's all I have. And they put their faith and trust in the Lord, did what God said, and God took care of them. You think the widow woman had a special access to Almighty God? No, she placed her faith and trust in the right person, and God gave her success. Then look in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. And I love the next four words, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Is the sun going to come up tomorrow? Most likely. Yeah. Have we ever said, well, I don't know if the sun's going to shine today? We just take it for granted. But that's God's faithfulness. That is God's faithfulness. Is this word going to come true? Absolutely, because my God is faithful. Sometimes we think, I'm the only person that's ever gone through this, that's going through this now. How am I going to make it? God said, hey, there are others in the Bible that went through the exact same thing. Your situation is not one in 50 million. Your temptation is common to man. If you live on this earth. But God is, and He wants to remind you, God is faithful. He's not going to suffer you to be tempted above it you're able, but with the temptation also make a way to what? That you may be able to bear it. There's a way out. Well, there's no way out, preacher. No way out. I'm just going to take my life. So many teenagers, the suicide rate is not dropping, it's rising. There's no way out. There is a way out. Ask God to help. Seek the Lord. He can help you. And so God can help you. So I'm going to look at tonight. I want you to turn now to 2 Kings chapter number 5. I see an example of a witness. And God doesn't name her by name, but we know some information about her. And I want to take some principles found in her life, and I want to apply them to our lives tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Of course, the healing of Naaman, very familiar. Now, Naaman, captain of the host, the king of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with the master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a what? Leper. Here was Naaman. He's a great man, but he had a problem. He's a leper. Leprosy was incurable. Once you got leper, you were considered unclean. You had to go outside the city. You could not stay with your family. You could not be around people. That phrase, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. They got that in Bible days. Because when you were a leper, you had to have a 10-foot pole. Unclean, don't come near me. Because if you get near me, then I'm contagious and I can pass this leprosy on to you. And do we have a sin problem today? Is it curable with man? Absolutely not. I don't care who you are. You can be a great man. You can be an honorable person. Well, preacher, I'm a good man. I live a good life. I try to keep the Ten Commandments. I try to be honest. But you and I are sinners. And there's nothing we can do about our sin but turn to the Almighty God and ask Him to help us and forgive us of our sins. So it says in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies, and he brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. That's all we know. A little maid. We don't know how old she was. But here was an insignificant, God doesn't even mention her name. Just a little maid. And she was a captive. She was a prisoner. Taken away from parents, taken away from her homeland. She was a captive. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." She witnessed. She said, "I know Naaman has a problem, and it's an incurable problem with man." But she said, I know a solution. Would to God that Naaman knew my preacher, my prophet, because I think he could heal him. I think he could help him with his disease. And folks, we could put ourselves in this little maid's. We're nothing. No one has to know our name. But we know that this world, everybody we walk by has a sin problem. We know that they're incurable. We know that they are unclean in the heart. Jeremiah 17, our heart is desperately wicked above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Say, everybody you walk by, they can say, unclean, unclean. Hey, sin is a universal problem, folks. Oh, well, no, I'm a good person. No, you're a sinner. You're either a saved sinner or a lost sinner. And we can compare sins. And we can say, your sins, my sins aren't so bad, and your sins are. Hey, there's no big sins and little sins with God. All sins put Him on the cross. And there's sins, there's visible sins, then there's sins of the heart. There are envyings and murders and bitterness that's all within our heart. And we think, God not only knows what we say, He understands what we think. He says, you're defiled from within. And so we're sinners. And this little maid, she said, would to God. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I what? Am I God? There's a lot of people going to a lot of places to get their sin problem dealt with. Well, I'll go to this church, I'll go to this religion, I'll go to this, I'll get rededicated, I'll live the life, I'll get baptized, I'll do this, I'll turn over a new leaf. That doesn't do anything for the sin problem, folks. You can go to religion, you can turn to people, you can turn to the Pope, you can turn to the churches, but this church and man, we can say, am I God? What can I do about your sin problem? I can't forgive you. I can't heal you. I can't make you any better. And like the king of Israel, what can I do? Am I God? You have an incurable disease. And I can't heal you. And we look at people and we say, I can't heal them of their sin problem, but I know who can. I can't forgive them of their sin. I can't wash away their sin. I can't make them a new creature in Christ, but I know who can. And so, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray thee, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Send him to me. He's got a problem, but was Elisha saying, I'll get my little magic hanky, and he come and I'll spread it over him and he'll get healed. No, but he knew the true and living God. So it was sent to him, and it says in verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought Man, I thought if I went to be this religion, man, I'd have all the answers. There'd be peace in my heart, and I would have peace of mind and peace of heart, and I would be cured. No. Well, if I just went to this man and did what this religion says, hey, you can't be healed of your sin problem unless you go to the Lord, folks. Unless you do what this book says. And it wasn't in Elisha. It was in God Almighty. He said, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. But who was the, well, I think preachers ought to go out and soul win, and I do too. I think missionaries ought to go out and soul win, and I do too. But who gave the message? Was it Elisha? Hello? It wasn't. It wasn't Elisha. But who gave God's message? The little maid. But down here in our passage, Elisha sent a messenger unto him. It wasn't even Elisha. Elisha said, hey, Gehazi, go tell Naaman how he can be cured. Well, I think that's the job of a full-time servant to tell people the message of salvation. I think they could do a better job. Elisha. And that's what Naaman thought. Oh, Elisha's going to come out and he's going to put his hand on me and I'm going to be cured of my leprosy. No. An insignificant, greedy, you'll see if you read the rest of this, greedy servant was sent to tell him the message. That tells me every single one of you can tell somebody the message of salvation. Well, I'm not a full-time preacher, and I'm not. This guy wasn't a prophet either. He was just a servant of the prophet. And Elisha said, hey, go tell him the message, how he can be cured. Every single one of us can tell a sinner, hey, you have a sin problem, but I know a God that can forgive you of your sins and how you can call upon his name and believe in him and be saved and go to heaven. You can do that. It wasn't in Elisha, and it wasn't in him being a prophet. He told the message to tell to the messenger, and the messenger told Naaman. And did it work? He had to dip how many times? What's seven a number of? Completion? Perfection? He was to go, and he got angry, but his friends encouraged him. Hey, if you were asked to do some great thing, you'd do it. So what difference does it make? Go and wash seven times. And he did. And the Bible says down here in verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a child. And he was what?
Clean.
Before he was unclean. Now he's clean. I tell you what, this book can tell you how you can be clean, folks. You can go home tonight clean. Even if you go home dirty tonight in your heart, you can get on your knees and you can kneel and ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you can lay your head on your pillow tonight knowing that you are right with God, that your heart is clean of sin. Amen? And that's not because a preacher came and did some hocus pocus over you or rubbed your head. No, it was because you sought the Word of God. And so I put on the bottom of your paper the last, the simplicity of salvation. What was Naaman told to do? Go dip seven times. Verse number 10, Elijah sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. What? That's all I'm supposed to do? Just go dip myself in the Jordan River? Aren't there other better rivers out there that I could do that? But God just says, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. God said, just believe on me, and that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? That's it. Just obey the Bible. Well, are you sure? There's got to be more to it. Do I have to be baptized in your church? Do I have to live a good life? Do I have to keep the Ten Commandments? Absolutely not. Just trust in the Lord. And that's what he did. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to pay. when he came back to Elisha's house, it says, verse 15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Can you buy the blessings of God? Absolutely not. Can you buy salvation? Absolutely not. Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life. Like I said, Sunday school, you don't even have to know the whole Romans road. Just use that one verse. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God forever. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then go to chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and down to verse 13. You can win somebody to the Lord. Why? Because you're telling them they got a sin problem and the wages of their sin, but the gift, the free gift of Almighty God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen? So, nothing to pay. Nothing to boast of. Oh, Naaman, how did you get healed? Well, here's what I did. I had to pay all this money and I had to do community service and I had to go over here since I'm a great man. All I did was dip myself in a ucky, mucky, muddy Jordan River 7 times and I was healed. That's all you did? That's all I did? That's all I was told I had to do? That's all you're telling the sinner? Trust in Jesus Christ? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that simple or what? You mean you Baptists say all you got to do is trust in Jesus and believe in Jesus and ask Him to save you and you'll be saved. That's what the Bible says. Because you and I have nothing to boast in. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then it's nothing to think about. Well, you know, I thought, this is what I thought. This is the way I thought I can get saved. This is the way I think that I can be cleansed. You have to do it through the Word of God. But that little maid, all started with a little maid. Hey, I wish he knew my preacher. I wish he knew, because my preacher knows God and God can do anything. And can you imagine a little maid saying, I think that my preacher could heal him of his leprosy? Well, we think, oh, that's just common. There was no cure for leprosy. It was an incurable disease. Once you got leprosy, you were basically a walking dead man. It's just going to take a little while. You couldn't have a normal life. You couldn't be around people that you loved. That's why there was leper colonies. You had to dwell with another leper. And for a little maid to say, yeah, I think my preacher could do that. And I don't think her faith was in her preacher, her prophet. I think her faith was in the God of her prophet. The God of her preacher. And I'm telling you, I can't save anybody. This church can't save anybody. They come in, we can't do anything, but we can point them to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus Christ can save your soul. Jesus Christ can, you come in unclean with a sin debt, and if you paid for your sin debt, you'd spend eternity in hell, but God can forgive you and wash away your sin debt and take it away so you don't have a sin debt and you're clothed with the righteousness of God. Amen. 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 Do we know her name? No. Do we know anything about her? No. But she used her voice. She used her voice. Hey, I know how you can get clean. Hey, I know my preacher. Would to God that you could get to my preacher, because I think he could know the answer. He could heal you. What great faith. To a leper. To a leper. Sometimes you and I don't know about you, maybe just me, I look at somebody and say, whoo, that person's out there. He or she, they're out there. Just by the looks and you're looking at him and say, man, can God save him? Oh yeah, God can save anybody. It's not the outside, it's the inside. And our heart's just as wicked as that person. And God can save us and can save them. And so the little maid used her voice, was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So take your paper and we'll do some teaching and we'll be done tonight. Of course, the Great Commission, our church's responsibility. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. How many is that? How many people are that? Is that? But how many does it make up? And these three are one. Folks, I don't care who teaches you, who you believe, who you listen on the radio. Any man could be dead wrong. Please don't follow a man. Follow the Word of God. We preachers sometimes can get, I have to use we, sometimes we major on the minors, and sometimes I was at a preacher's meeting Wednesday and talked to some preachers, and it can be, you don't believe just like me, and I don't believe just like you, so we're going to be at odds. We'd be brethren. We're really doing the same thing. I'm not talking about hooking up with Oral Roberts or Joel Osteen or Joyce Myers, all right? But I mean, independent Baptist preachers that love the Lord, love this Bible, believe in salvation by grace through faith, believe in the church. Well, you don't do it just like me, and I don't do it just like you, and your terminology is different than my terminology, so I have to break fellowship. Oh. Now, there's some people I wouldn't have preach in the pulpit, but we be brethren. We're brethren in Jesus Christ. And we're doing the same thing. And so, don't get bogged down on a man's philosophy if he's not following the Word of God. Doesn't mean you have the right to go out and be a maverick and just do whatever you want to. Follow your preacher. What did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. And if I'm wrong, come and talk to me. Sit down with me with love and say, preacher, I think you're preaching heresy based upon this right here. And I'll look at it and I'll say, I'll pray it and let's look it over and I'll see what God has to say and speak to my heart. So our purpose is to reach the world with the gospel. Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to what, who? Every creature. Like I said this morning, sometimes we get caught up in telling everybody what we think about. Even I had some people, current events. What do you think about Israel? Well, what do you think this means for the future? I'm not sure. I just know we're closer than we've ever been before. I do know some things based upon the Word of God, but I don't know some things. Sometimes I have to say, I'm not sure, but I know things are lining up. And you know, we're not to go give everybody our ideas and our thoughts on things. Why don't we just give them the gospel? You know the gospel? That's what I'm supposed to take to the gospel. Sometimes people ask and we tell them what we think, which what we think could be dead wrong. But if we give them the gospel, hey, here, look at this. Hey, would you like to be saved? Would you like to go to heaven? Well, what does your church believe about women wearing pants or about this, men wearing tattoos, all this? Well, let me tell you what I think. No. Hey, let's stick with the gospel. Amen. Teaching comes when somebody gets saved, get in the church. That's what the church is for. Preaching, but first give them the gospel. Give them the facts of the Word of God. The gospel, that's what they need. So give them the gospel. The Great Commission was given to God's churches to reach the entire world with the gospel. This is the only reason why our church exists. It is a purpose, goal, and commission of the church that it should be the end or result of everything that the church does. In every Sunday school class, you need to present Jesus and the gospel. In every activity, whatever we do, there ought to be somewhere where we gather around and we point our attention to the Lord. Why are we here? Why are we here? We're not a social club. We're not here just to entertain. We're not just here to fulfill people's physical needs, although we can help with that, but we are here to turn them to Jesus Christ. He has the answer. The winning of souls is the principal duty of every Christian and the thing that's nearest to the heart of Almighty God. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah, but that person's really lost. That's why Jesus came. There's no really lost person. I don't care if you live in a mansion and you're unsaved, he's lost. I don't care if he doesn't have a home and doesn't have money. He's lost. Both of them are lost on the way to hell, folks. And they need somebody to tell them. We will show you from the Scripture that it is God's will and intent for you and I to be witness and soul winners for Jesus Christ. Also give you the tools. So, number one, why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? To call the righteous or call sinners to repentance? Call sinners to repentance. Jesus came in this world to save sinners. How many sinners have to repent for there to be joy in heaven? One. You are here because your parents reproduce themselves in you. Our job as Christians, not just pastors and paid staff members, is to reproduce others, bear fruit. If you are truly saved, you have sufficient information to lead someone to Christ. True or false? Yes. It's our job. Not just paid staff. Well, I'm not like Brother Trevor. I'm not called to be a full-time minister. Doesn't matter. Folks, if people had to wait for a full-time Christian to tell them about the gospel, a lot of people would go to hell. I'm not going to come in contact with everybody you come in contact with. I can't go into every business, every school, every place of business. But you have your spear. Tell them about Jesus Christ. What does witnessing mean? A witnessing in a courtroom trial is expected to tell what he knows, what he sees, and what he's heard. He cannot tell what he thinks others have seen or heard, but rather what he saw and heard. He must relate his own experience in his own words. How many of you are saved tonight? Raise your hand. Okay, every single one of you are supposed to be a witness, a testimony. Well, preacher, I don't know what to say. How'd you get saved? Hopefully, if we took a mic and went around, Philip, how'd you get saved? Yes, how'd you get saved? We don't got all that. Give us the short version. Yeah, did you join a church? Did you keep the Ten Commandments? What'd you do? That's it? That's it? Okay. All right. Derek, how'd you get saved? Short version. Short version. Huh? So, you asked Jesus to save you? Did you get baptized? Didn't do anything. Okay. Seems like these two got saved. Brother Heston, how'd you get saved? Okay. So, what'd you do about it? Okay, when was it? Who else's birthday is that? That you had signed your Bible? What's his guy from Texas that was going to run for president? What was it? Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz. He had Ted Cruz sign, and was that his physical birthday or spiritual birthday? Yeah. He said, I got saved because he had written, I got saved, and that had the date, and Ted Cruz said, that's when I got saved too, and gave a verse. Exactly. Aren't you glad some politicians are saved? Amen. All right, Brother Glore, how'd you get saved? And you say that's it. Just you're saved. Okay? Okay. Okay. All these people have the same testimony. One of them didn't say, well, I was baptized. One of them said, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Philip couldn't do that anyway. But I mean, and you know, I'm a good person. You know, I go to church. I'm of this denomination. Not one of them brought up that. All of them said, I realized I was a sinner. I realized I was going to go to hell, and I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I asked Jesus to save my soul. Yeah. Folks, that's salvation. Yeah. If you haven't done that, well, I believe there's a God. Good. Well, I know I'm a sinner. That's good. And I go to church. That's good. But you must realize you must call upon the name of the Lord to save your soul. The God's at your heart's door knocking. There's, if you've ever seen that picture of Jesus standing at the door, there's no doorknob on the outside. Oh, he made a mistake. No. Jesus can't open the door to your heart. He's not going to kick it down and walk in. You have to open the door and invite Jesus in your heart. No matter how you do it, the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, save me. I believe you have, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I know some preachers say, I was saved the moment I left my pew. You better go with what the Bible says. You may have wanted to be saved, but I believe with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You better call upon the name of the Lord and ask Jesus to save you. And if you're dealing with somebody, especially children, please, when you take them through the plan of salvation, start asking them questions. Don't just say, you know you're a sinner? Uh-huh. You want to get saved? Uh-huh. Okay, bow and say this. No. Have them talk to you. Why are you a sinner? Name me a sin. Disobedient to parents. That's a good sin. Amen. And all God's young people said? Amen. Annabeth, amen? Oh, yes. Amen. And then what's going to happen to you if you die without Jesus Christ? Oh, no. Well, you're going to go to hell. And then when you have them pray, please have say, you know, I'm going to, and you can say, I'm going to pray first. Just bow your head and say, Lord, thank you for Johnny coming tonight. And God, I pray that he might truly understand, and God, that he might accept you as his personal Savior. So you're showing them, because some of them, okay, let's pray. How do they know what to do? But you're bowing your head and you're saying, pray, and then have them pray. Please don't just say, okay, I'm saved. Now, they could pray. But if they say it out loud, you hear it. And you can say, now, don't say, hey, how do you feel? Are you saved now? And they're like, no. no bells, no whistles, no firecrackers. No, you say, what did you? You just called upon the name of the Lord. And my Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, you just accepted Christ. You asked Jesus in your heart, and now you're saved forever. Amen. but let them, if you let them say the prayer so you can hear it, so you can reaffirm to them that they got saved. So, it's the same way. A witness has, if you were there when you got saved, how many of you were there when you got saved? If you're not, you're in trouble. You'll get that later. You'll be waking up tonight saying, now I know what he means. There were three people there when I got saved. Me, myself, and I. But anyway. Never mind. All right. So a witness, how'd you get saved? You can tell others. Witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ is the same thing as you telling in your words what happened to you. Witness begins with one beggar telling another beggar where the food is. Hey, I was unclean. I got saved December 28, 1985, right down here, 6 blocks from here. I knelt beside my waterbed and received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm saved on my way to heaven. Amen. You can do the same thing today. That's what it is. Number two, are witnessing and soul winning the same thing? Witnessing is relating your own personal experience of salvation. And that's okay. But soul winning is using your witness to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, I don't know what to say. Get you some tracts. This right here tells you everything you need to know. There's a good-looking guy on the back. Anyway, no. We're all sinners. Now, preacher, I don't know the outline. It's right here. We're all sinners. As a sinner, we owe a debt. Christ paid that debt. What you must do, you must receive Christ as your personal Savior. Right here, ask Jesus to be your Savior. Right here, all you got to do. Give them one, and you want to say, hey, can I walk you through this? You got a little bit of time? Can I show you what the Bible says, the way you can go to heaven? So you cannot separate witnessing and soul winning. The best soul winners are those that are saved, those that know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can an unsaved person lead a person to Christ? Exactly. I've heard even, I think it was Richard Haley Jr. said, I won hundreds of souls before I got saved personally. It's not you that saves you. All you're doing is pointing someone to Jesus Christ. And so God's the one that saves you. The Word of God's what you're using. So a lost person can tell another lost person, hey, here's what you need to do to get saved. And that lost person does it, he'll go to heaven. Amen. And so John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. Why should you be a witness and a soul winner? And we'll do this and be done. Number one, it is a command. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:8, here, and I'll read it real quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. From Jerusalem to wherever the uttermost part of the earth is, we're supposed to reach all the people in between. So how are we going to do that? We can try to reach Wichita for Christ, but it's hard for us to go to Uganda, to the Philippines, to Africa, but we can send somebody else. Send somebody else that's going to do the same thing we do here. Trevor Haley's going to do the same thing. He's going to take the gospel witness to the Jews and start an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing community church. Is that what he said?
No.
What did he say? Baptist church. Amen. Which Baptist church has Bible doctrine. And if it does not have Bible doctrine, then it's not truly a Baptist church. So, number two, it's a debt that we owe. We owe a debt. I owe a debt to a little church in Arlington, Texas, behind the football stadium, that a leather-lung preacher took off his coat and preached the gospel, and my dad understood that, went home and got saved. He went to church. He went forward. And he said, the person that dealt with him said, what did you come for? And my dad said, I want to be saved. Well, great, Teddy, let's take your name. Then gave the name to the preacher and said, and the preacher said, Teddy came to get saved. And all God's people said, amen. But my dad wasn't saved. They didn't take him through the Romans road. They just said, you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior. They put his name on a card. Said, you're saved. He wasn't saved. But I owe a debt to that church. I owe that debt because my mom was in across town in Arlington, and she got saved at a youth rally. She accepted Christ as her personal Savior. Thank God that somebody won my parents to Jesus Christ. I owe them a debt. I need to go tell somebody else's mom and dad how to get saved. I need to explain to them, hey, you need to get saved so that your kids can get saved, so that all of you can go to heaven when you die. We owe a debt. Then it's our responsibility. Talk about the watchman. Hey, we see as a watchman, we see the enemies at work. We see God's coming is closer than it's ever been before. You think these are exciting times? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's our job to tell people about Jesus Christ, the watchman. Number two, will God hold us accountable for telling others about Him? Yes or no? Yes. Will God prick your heart? Well, God said, you ought to tell them. You ought to give them a track. Well, He just threw it back at me. Did you do your job? You can't make anybody do anything. But you can. Hey, I got something for you. Hey, I'd like to give you something. Hey, let me give you something. Hey, would you read this? I've asked several people, hey, would you read this? Uh-huh. Well, if they do what they say, they're going to read the gospel, folks. And the Lord can convict them of their sin. Then number E, it's a calling. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in a foreign country representing a heavenly place. If you're saved, where are you going to spend eternity? Heaven. My home is not here. I'm going to leave this earth, leave everything that I have, and I'm going to a different place. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. So I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then F, there's a need. What is the soul worth? Is it worth $100,000? Is it worth $1 million? Let's really quick, look at Mark chapter 8, verse 36. I want you to hear it and see it with your eyes. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So what's there in the world worth a soul? All the money in the world? All the riches in the world? Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed His precious blood. Precious is not used very many times in the Word of God. And it was His precious blood that saves our soul, folks. So we are redeemed not with corruptible things, but by His blood. The fields are white, ready for the harvest. In 1989, it was estimated that 300 souls a day die without Jesus Christ. 300,000 die. We had COVID, and we still have some of that problem, but people die every day. Are they saved or lost? As the little maid, didn't know her name, was very insignificant. All she did was, "Hey, I wish Naaman could see my preacher, my prophet." I really think that if he went and saw my preacher, my prophet, I bet you he could heal him, because I know my preacher and he knows the real Lord, the true and living God, and God can do anything. And I just wish he could do that, just in passing. And what happened? He was unclean. And then he did what the word of God, the prophet said to do, and it wasn't even Elisha that gave him the message. Folks, it doesn't have to be a full-time preacher, a full-time missionary to give someone the gospel. It could be a student to another student. It could be a high schooler to another high schooler. Burton Gates. If you go to Heartland, you've heard that name. I think he's in Philadelphia doing a great work. But two teenage soul winners knocked on his door in Arkansas, I believe, from the church. "Hey, we're from this Baptist church." And it was Brother, who's the guy that did camp? Redhead. Wido, Brother Wido's church. Sent his teenagers out, knocked on the door, said, "I'd like to invite you to come to our church. We believe Christ has the answer." And these tracts says, "Find hope in life." Some people are looking for hope. All you got to do is let them know. Tell them, hand them a track, talk to them, knock on their door. Lifestyle evangelism is good, but not very many people I know have said, "Hey, I got saved by watching this guy's life because he's a good person." We'll get to know them. They're a sinner. But you need to use your mouth. "Hey, I know somebody who can save your soul. Hey, you want to go to heaven? Hey, I know Jesus Christ changed my life, and I was lost, and now I'm going to heaven, and Jesus Christ died. He paid your sin debt. You can go to heaven. All you have to do is receive Him as your personal Savior." It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's be that little maid. Let's be that little insignificant young lady in a foreign land that says, "Hey, I bet you if he could just talk to somebody that knows the Lord, I bet you he could be healed. He can be cured of his incurable disease with man." Because God can do some great things. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you tonight. Thank you so much for the Word of God that you've given us. God, thank you for the examples that you've given us in the Word of God, how this little maid, all she did was say that she thought that her preacher could help Naaman get rid of his leprosy. God, I thank you so much for the Word of God that you've given us. God, you've given us one of the greatest jobs on earth, just to tell others
We don't have to convict. We don't have to save their souls. We don't have to die for them. All we have to do is tell them the good news, their remedy. We have to explain to them. And God, I pray that you might use us. Now that we might hand out more tracts, we might talk to more people, we might try to tell more people about Jesus Christ. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand tonight as the piano begins to play and Brother Derek begins to sing? I don't know how the Lord has spoken to your heart, but maybe you just need to come and renew a commitment. God, I'm going to try with all my heart to take tracts, and everybody I come in contact with, I'm going to give them a chance to know Jesus Christ, understand the truth. Would you come tonight as the piano begins to play?
Must Jesus bear the cross
come tonight.
Alone?
And we don't even know that little maid's name.
The world go,
we don't know how old she was. She could have bitterness in her heart for being taken away from her country, her family. Why do I have to be a little maid? But she was concerned, cared about her master, and said something. If he could just meet my prophet, my preacher, what faith she had, recover him of his leprosy. I think she knew my preacher, my prophet couldn't do it, but my prophet's God can do it. You can't save a soul. You can't convict a heart. Just go tell him the message. Say, hey, come to church. You're here the gospel. Hey, read this. Would you read this for me? Not hard. Just takes a concern, just takes an awareness of who's around you.
Joyful, I'll cast my golden crown and his dear name repeat. Oh, precious cross.
What an example, what a witness. Give somebody your testimony. Hey, I got saved. This is how I got saved. I realized I was a sinner. I realized if I were to die without Christ, I'd go to hell. But I wanted to do something about it. And the Bible says Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. You can do the same thing. You can call upon Jesus to save you. Folks, it's not these words on this track that saves a person. Must believe in your heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
And there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear. Till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown.
Be seated quietly while these are still here at the altar. right. Now, God's people said, appreciate you being in the Lord's house tonight. And had some visitors this morning, praise the Lord. And the young man that came with Jaden and the Eberhards this morning had the KU, the little short guy, no, big guy. He plays for KU football. And he said he came here in fourth grade, was picked up. He rode our bus in fourth grade, came to this church. And what a testimony. Come back 15 years later, 16 years later, come to the same church, still running the same buses, reaching little boys just like him. I'm telling you. And I told the group yesterday, I was at the meeting on Wednesday, and a preacher came up and said, I was in Hayes, Kansas, and met a lady, and she said she came to your, she got picked up by your bus when she was a kid and got saved and baptized at Bethel Baptist Church in Wichita, Kansas. She goes, you know Bethel Baptist Church in Wichita, Kansas? So I'm telling you, folks, you'll never know. You never know. Just keep witnessing, keep praying, keep giving. Your tithes and offerings enable us to do what we do. And I want to encourage you to think about what God would have you do for world missions. We can reach this world. We can reach our city. But in order to reach the world, we've got to be able to give our finances and pray. I encourage you. We're running a little behind budget, I think. I was looking at it. Our budget's about 64, right? 66, and we're getting in. We're getting in less than 7,000 a month for missions. And I want to encourage you. If you're not doing something, ask God what He could channel through you. Don't look at your budget and say, I think I can budget this in. Ask God. Say, God, what can, by faith, what can I give by faith? It's faith, promise, mission, giving. And see what God will do, and your dimes, your quarters, your tens, your fives adds up. And we've never had to call a missionary and say, well, we don't have it this week, we don't have it this month. And that's a testimony of this, the people in this church. You guys are faithful givers. Thank you so much. But I'd love to take on, we already took on the Haleys, but I'd love to take on the Scuffums. I think they're going to do a good job. And the Parkers will be with us the last Sunday of this month. I believe they're going to Japan, I believe. But we need everybody to do their part and to be faithful so that we can do that. Yes, ma'am? Yes, yes. Out of Brother Stewart's church in Olathe. Now I tried to schedule them at camp, and they said, "Oh, probably be 2024 before we can come." But he texted me this week and said we had a cancellation for the 29th, I believe. And so, if you're willing to have us, then we'll come. So, I'm excited about that. That will just cap off our missions month. Have you enjoyed our missions month?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad. And. And it's been a variety, and I'm off with Brother Miller, and I just hope you learn, and God has something for you from every message that's given. If they open up the Word of God and they start preaching, doesn't matter the style, doesn't matter the manner of communication, if they're preaching and teaching the Word of God, then it's for us, and there's something in every message for us. So let's all stand, and happy birthday to Faye Renlett. Sister Renlett, how old are you today? 92. Man. Amen. We sure love you, Miss Faye, and happy birthday to you. And I'm buying at Chick-fil-A tonight. If you'll go by, I'll buy you tonight. I'll buy you anything you want at Chick-fil-A. So, what's Senior Saints tomorrow? Yes. We have Senior Saints tomorrow and start at noon. And Brother Trevor Haley will be back with us. Then Tuesday morning, if you'd like to go to the preacher's meeting, I think it starts at 9 o'clock. There'll be three preachers, and I know one of them very, very well, all right? We'll have a good time, and they'll feed us lunch after that back in God's house on a Wednesday night. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to dismiss us and take us home safely. Brother Heston, will you do that for us, please, sir?